Hello and welcome to Macro Sutra. I'm TCA Sharad Raghavan, Deputy Editor at The Print. And this time we're going to be talking about the budgets and the finances of three big states in India. And we're going to concentrate on these three states because otherwise a lot of the details get lost if you're talking about all the states. These states are UP, Bihar and Punjab. But before we start this discussion, I had an appeal to make before you, which is please do subscribe to The Print. We are starting to be known for our ground reports. We've established our name there, but we're growing it now. And we're being known for our opinion pieces, our analysis, and a lot of our reportage. But all of this costs money. And that's where your subscriptions help a lot. It helps us send reporters to the ground. It helps us engage in conversations like this. But it also gets you several benefits. One of which is that you get priority access to our member exclusive webinars where we discuss the news of the week, the day, the month, and we call in experts to talk about them. Then you can write in to us in the Your Turn section where we publish your views as an article. And finally, you get access to the newsletters that our editors write and that go straight to your inboxes where they pick and choose the news that they feel is important that you should know about. So don't miss this opportunity. Please do subscribe to The Print. The link is in the description of this video. Now, let's get to the analysis. And of course, as always, to get into the numbers and the analysis, we have with us Radhika Pandey, Associate Professor at NIPFP. So now, Radhika, we'll go state-wise. Okay. So let's start with Bihar. So first off, what do its deficit numbers tell us? Because that can then tell us about the health right. of the state.
So Bihar is one of the states that has announced its budget for 24-25. And there, the fiscal deficit is budgeted at 3% of GSDP, that is the gross state domestic product. Even for last year, that is, even for the current year, the 23-24, which will end on 31st March, the deficit was fixed at 3% of GSDP.
Right.
But if we look at the revised estimates, because we know when the we see the budget for 24-25, we get the budget estimate. And for the current year, we get the revised estimates.
Yep.
And there, the revised estimates show a considerable overshooting of deficit to almost 8.9%.
Wow, that's
so
large.
Yes. So that is from 3% to 8.9%. Now, there have been concerns raised about the credibility of revised estimates, because if we look at...
For Bihar in particular,
right. If we look at the trajectory of budget estimates, then revised and actuals, mm-hmm. we see that the revised estimates considerably overshoot. And then the actuals are relatively more closer to the budget estimate. So
I see.
There have been concerns raised about the estimation, the assumptions that are made, because for revised estimates, the governments have 8 to 9 months of data. And based right. on that, they do projections for the entire year. So there are issues with the revised estimates, particularly for Bihar. That is seen not only for debt, but for all other indicators as well, for revenue, for expenditure as well. But given that as it is, we have seen that there is a jump in the fiscal deficit from 3 to 8.9%.
Okay.
And even the concerning aspect is that the revenue account is also in deficit. You know, that is supposed to be in surplus, because fiscal deficit includes both your revenue deficit as well as the deficit on the capital account, mm-hmm. that is your capital expenditure. So if your revenue deficit is very high, that means you are borrowing for meeting your recurring expenditures,
right.
your daily expenditures. So there also, for the current year, the government had projected a revenue surplus, but it ended up having a revenue deficit of 4%. So again,
wow.
the revised estimate. And for the next year, again, they have pegged a revenue surplus at 0.1% of GSDP. So deficit or fiscal deficit of 3% and a revenue surplus of 0.1% for the next year.
So just as a slight question here, how does a state which in the budget numbers where it's estimating for a year, it comes up with a number that is closer to reality than the number that it gets after 8 months of data?
So 8 months of data, it is projecting for the full year. So right. The revised estimate is a projection for the full year.
Mm-hmm.
Actual is actual, what comes out. So that is the reason for the difference that, you know, there that raises questions on the assumption that they are making right. based on the 8 to 9 months of data, okay. what they are doing for projecting. They are assuming that, you know, the expenditures will be this much, but actually expenditure is not that much. Mm. So that leads to, ultimately it leads to savings and the deficits are not that high. They are slightly lower. For example, in 22-23, for which we have the budget estimate revised as well as the actual,
right.
we saw that the revised estimates again shot up to 8-9%, and then the actuals were higher, but it were more closer to the budget estimates.
To the budget estimate.
So
okay.
ultimately, there is there is a question of administrative capacity of states that they project that they will be able to spend this much. Actually, they are not able
they're
to
not,
do, particularly
yeah.
that is true for capital expenditure. And ultimately, they end up having savings and therefore their deficit is not that high.
Right. So now coming to things like revenue and expenditure, let's start with revenue. What is Bihar's revenue situation looking like?
So, for Bihar, the problem is that there is reliance on central government, you know.
Yeah.
For example, if you look at the composition of revenue receipt of any state,
mm-hmm.
it is broadly comprised of the state's own resources,
yeah.
which includes the state's own tax resources and non-tax resources, and it includes transfers from central government, which is again of two types. One is the devolution from taxes, the
right.
shareable pool, which is recommended by the 15th Finance Commission, which says that 41% of the overall shareable pool of taxes of the central government will be shared with the states.
With the states yeah.
So that is one element of transfer, and the other is the grants which are given from the central government to the states, part of which is untied. These are unconditional grants,
mm-hmm.
and a major part of it has now become conditional, especially
yes.
with 15th Finance Commission. Overall nature of grants, almost 57% of those grants are conditional now.
Which means that if you do these reforms, we'll
yeah.
give you the grant. If
yes.
you don't,
otherwise,
then you don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
So overall, there are five types of grants. One, which is non-conditional, is the revenue deficit grant. So if
right.
a state is having a revenue deficit, then some grants are given to bridge that deficit even after, you know, after getting your share of taxes from the central government. If you're again having a deficit, then a revenue deficit grant.
So at least your day-to-day spending
is taken care of.
Yeah. yeah.
But Bihar doesn't feature in those states which get revenue deficit grant. Okay, so there are 17 states that have been identified for revenue deficit grant by the 15th Finance Commission. Based on their revenue expenditure pattern before the 15th Finance Commission period, Bihar doesn't feature in that. So for Bihar, most of the grants are therefore conditional.
I see.
So now coming to the Bihar's composition, as I said, 73% of the revenue receipts are the transfers from the central government,
wow.
which includes taxes, and UP and Bihar are the two states which get a lot, which get a higher share of taxes
mm-hmm.
because of population, because of income distance. So these are the two big states that get a major share of taxes from the central
right.
government. So that is one reason, and the other is the grants, and these two components together make up for 73% of the revenue receipts of Bihar.
Okay.
So now if there is any shortfall from the central government, it will impact the
Will
have a very big impact.
Yeah.
So 50,000 crore has been budgeted as grants from the central government for the coming year, that is 2024-25. But if we look at the current year, they have received only 16% of the budgeted.
16%.
That is still January. And in this year also, they had budgeted around the same amount, 50,000 crore. And out of which they have got 16%. But again, they have budgeted 52,000-53,000 crore. So that is one concern, that they would have to improve their own tax resources in order to reduce reliance, because generally what happens is, even towards the end of the Finance Commission award period, the
mm-hmm.
nature of transfers tend to get taper off. You know, you get the maximum amount in the first 3 years, 24-25 and 2025-26, these are the last 2 years of Finance
right.
Commission. So those states, in principle, those states that are dependent on transfers from the central government, they tend to, get impacted, because the flow of grants tend to taper in the last 2 years, and same applies to Bihar.
Right. So, but it also could be that since these are conditional grants,
yes,
or a large part of them are conditional,
yes,
it could just be that Bihar hasn't done the reforms.
Absolutely.
And so is not getting the
Absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely. That is the reason, because
right,
Bihar, whatever grants they are getting, they, most part of it is conditional. You know, one is grants given for to local bodies.
Mm.
Now, in local bodies, there's some part of grant which is given for million plus cities and below million plus cities population.
Right.
So some reforms have to be done to be eligible for that grant, and possibly because those reforms have not been undertaken, therefore the flow of grant has not taken place. But that then has an impact on the entire fiscal math of state, particularly from the revenue side.
Of course.
Because the own tax revenue and the own non-tax revenue comprises of only 26% of the overall revenue receipt. So if there is a shortfall here, that would have an impact, particularly at a time when, you know, on the deficit front, you see significant deviations, mm-hmm, between the budget and the revised estimates.
So then now if there is trouble on the revenue side, that these transfers are not coming in,
yeah,
that's sure to have an effect on expenditure.
Correct. So because the, again going back to deficit, they projected an increase in deficit from 3 to 8.9,
right.
That means that, you know, there is an increase in expenditure. So from the budgeted to the revised estimates of the current year, the capital expenditure is projected to rise by 35%.
Okay.
So, but if we look at the current data from the CAG, we get, you know, how much they have spent, mm-hmm, till January, they have spent only around 74% of their budgeted capital expenditure.
Oh,
so to assume that in the next 2 months, they will achieve the budgeted target and surpass that by another 35% is a bit of an over-optimistic,
yes,
picture. And therefore, that is why I'm saying that, you know, there would be savings on the capital expenditure front, and therefore the actual deficit would turn out to be much lower than this 8.9%, which is actually not permissible under the FRBM, because
Absolutely.
They have the target of 3% plus 0.5% for power sector reforms. So that is the...
So, but the thing is that if the revenue estimates are so far off the mark and the actuals come closer to reality, to what was budgeted, then the debt numbers also should be reasonable, because the debt is not based on the revenue expenditure numbers,
yeah,
right?
So debt is actually the outstanding stock of liabilities, you
right.
know, what has been happening, and there they are marginally deviating from the glide path which has been set by the 15th Finance Commission.
Okay.
So the 15th Finance Commission suggests that the debt to GDP ratio or the outstanding liabilities to GDP ratio should be somewhere around 32 to 33%.
Mm-hmm.
But for Bihar, it is slightly higher. Again, the question is that whether this liability is covering the entire liability profile of the state, because there are a lot of hidden liabilities, there are implicit guarantees,
right.
there are guarantees given to state, public sector entities, power sector utilities. So actually, we've done this work for Tamil Nadu. We saw that, you know, the actual debt to GSDP ratio is 9% higher than what is stated in the budget.
So these are all off-budget liabilities.
Off-budget as well as implicit.
Implicit, right.
Which if the power sector utilities are not able to repay their debt, then the state government steps in and pays back.
Right. So, okay. So that's Bihar. Coming to UP,
right.
Again, what do its deficit numbers look like?
So, in contrast to Bihar, UP fares better, because UP's Uttar Pradesh is having at least a surplus on its revenue account. So,
okay, that's good.
That is good. And the revenue surplus has been increasing over time. Over the last 3 years, we have seen that the revenue surplus has increased from 1.7% to 3% of GSDP.
Okay.
So, overall, the fiscal deficit is 3.5%, 3.46, 3.5%. 5%, but there is a surplus on the revenue account, which means that if you are borrowing, it's primarily for capex.
That's great.
Because the revenue, there is a revenue surplus, and the revenue surplus is rising over time. So there is a perceptible improvement in the quality of expenditure. in UP, even though there is a deficit on the fiscal deficit front, which is needed for capital expenditure. But at least on the revenue front, they have managed to achieve revenue surplus. So that is the thing. And there also, we don't see the kind of stark deviations between budget and revised and actual, as we saw in the case of Bihar. They are much closer. There is some deviation between budget estimate and revised estimates and then actual, but not to the extent that we see in Bihar.
Deviation is okay. It happens at the central level as well, but it can't be so much.
So much, yeah. Right. So that is the thing.
So then I'm guessing that if you're coming to UP's expenditure, their capex targets must be quite high.
Capex targets are quite high. They are above 1 trillion rupees. But again, the problem is that they are not able to spend so much. For example, till January, they have managed to spend only 50% of their budgeted capex. So there is an increase in budgetary allocation towards capex, which is a good thing. And again, they have budgeted a high amount, again, a good thing. But in terms of how much they are spending, again, the pace of spending has increased as compared to the last 3-4 years. But still, it hasn't reached 100%. It's around 50 to 60%.
So again, the targets are just far in excess of what they're able to do.
Yes. Okay. So, but the pace at which they are setting targets and the pace at which they are able to achieve, it's improving over time.
Okay.
So earlier the targets used to be lower and the extent of how much they have spent used to be again much lower. Mm-hmm. But at least they are fixing a higher target. And so if they are able to achieve by January, they have achieved half. So I'm guessing for the next 2 months, there will be some front loading and they will achieve more. On average, around 70% will be achieved. And therefore, there is again going to be a savings on capital expenditure and therefore the actual deficit will be lower. So what they are budgeting may be an overstatement because there would be a savings on their capital expenditure front.
Okay. And now looking at their revenue position, as you said, they are also dependent quite a lot on central transfers.
Absolutely.
But are they being able to do the reforms so that the central transfers are coming?
So they are a shade better than Bihar because firstly, the proportion is not that unfavorable as in case of Bihar. The other thing is that for 24-25, they have budgeted a very strong growth in their own tax revenue, which is 27%.
I see.
How far it can be achieved is to be seen because another important, you know, variation between Bihar and UP is their nominal GSDP projection because when you fix the fiscal deficit, your revenue deficit, you need to know what is your projection of GDP for the next year.
Right.
Bihar has projected 13.5% as their growth
for
2024-25, which is higher than the All India growth.
Right.
Because All India growth, we know it's 10.5%, 11%, that is the nominal GDP growth. Bihar has projected 13.5%.
Okay.
UP has projected only 5.8%.
Ah, so it's underestimating.
So in all probabilities, the GSDP will be higher and that would again lead to improvement in the fiscal ratio. So that is the key contrast between UP and Bihar, that firstly, there is a wide variation in their GSDP projection. Secondly, the own tax revenue has been pegged at a much higher level, almost 27% rise in 24-25 over the revised estimates of the current year. So that is why they are trying to reduce their reliance on transfers and move more towards own tax revenue. Again, the problem is that if you are keeping a GDP growth of GSDP growth of only less than 6%, how you are able to achieve a 27% increase in tax revenue?
Yes.
Because there is a question of tax buoyancy, there is a question of tax elasticity. So that is why the numbers look a bit off, that own tax revenue rising by 27% looks a bit off. But there need to be there needs to be some parity between their projection of GSDP and their projection of own tax revenue growth.
Right. But when it comes to own tax revenue, especially the difference between Bihar and UP, do you feel that it has to do with their policies to do with alcohol? Because Bihar has banned alcohol, whereas UP has gone several steps to encourage people coming from Delhi to go buy in UP and go back, because Delhi, the alcohol situation is pretty bad. So maybe that is the difference?
Absolutely. That could be one of the difference.
Okay. And again, so now UP's debt levels, how are they looking?
So UP's debt levels are again better than Bihar. So, but again, as I said, it's around 32-31% of GSDP. Okay. But with the UP, there has been some problems regarding the provision of guarantees to power utilities. So the actual extent of debt could be higher by some percentage points, because there is a provision of repaying the debt of power utilities that could lead to elevation of the debt level. But if we just go by the budgetary numbers, yes, it is under control.
Okay, right. And now we can move to Punjab and look at their deficit numbers.
Yeah, so Punjab is the most, I think, concerning out of all the three, because in Punjab, there is big concern about the quality of expenditure. One point is that their fiscal deficit is quite high. Over the last 2-3 years, fiscal deficit was closer to 5%. For this, for the coming year, that is 2024-25, they have budgeted a fiscal deficit of 3.8%.
Right.
For the last year, for the this current year, it is 4.12%. So it's quite elevated. Oh. And the bigger problem is that they are having a very high revenue deficit. Like UP, as I mentioned, revenue surplus.
Yes.
Punjab is having a very high revenue deficit of almost 2.8% of GSDP.
Which so means, again, their day-to-day expenditure can't be met.
Yes. So, and that is a lot to do with their committed expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
And we know committed expenditure mainly includes three parts. It includes your salaries, pensions, and interest payments. So, out of the three states, committed expenditure for Punjab is 76% of its revenue receipts. So whatever they are getting in terms of their revenue receipts, 76% is being spent only on these three categories.
And this is not even subsidies.
I'm coming to subsidies.
Wow.
So salaries, pensions, and interest payments, these constitute 76%.
Right.
And in addition to that, they have given, I'm just talking about one element of subsidy, which is power subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
They are giving free power to households, they are giving free power to farmers, and they are giving power subsidy to industrial sector.
Right.
All of which combined together makes the power subsidy bill, only power subsidy bill, to 20,000 crore.
Wow.
Which is again another 19% of the revenue receipts. So 76 plus 19% goes only in these four items of the revenue receipts.
What is left?
What is left? So only 3% of the total expenditure therefore goes to capital expenditure. So that is the extent of quality of expenditure concern that Punjab faces. Also, this year that they are able to cut their fiscal deficit is only because whatever little bit capital expenditure they are doing, that also they have slashed from budget estimate to revised estimate.
I see.
So from budget estimate to revised estimate, the capital expenditure is reduced by 38%. So it's a small amount, and then also it is reduced.
Right.
Just to give in terms of number, the Punjab's capex is somewhere around 10,000 crore and UP's capex is 1 lakh crore.
Huh.
So that is the extent of the deviation.
Right.
And there also they are not spending, and they're spending on these four items. So that is the concern with Punjab, and that was one reason for picking up Punjab as one of the state to discuss the, you know, the peculiarities, the concern with the composition of expenditure, the rise in revenue deficit,
right,
and therefore the nature of grants that goes to Punjab.
So then, so what is the issue? Is their revenue position very weak? Their own tax revenue situation, is that very weak for Punjab?
Own tax revenue is rising, but not to the same level.
Okay.
And again, the problem with Punjab is that it is one of the states that gets the grants, which is the revenue deficit grant, because Punjab was typically having a revenue deficit before the award period of 15th Finance Commission. So Punjab was one of the states that receives.
So this revenue deficit wasn't, it's not a new phenomenon. They've been in revenue deficit for a while.
Yes.
Okay.
And they are receiving revenue deficit grant for each of the 5 years of the 15th Finance Commission.
Right.
But as I said, the revenue deficit grant is tapering towards the end of the award period of 15th Finance Commission. So just to give some insight on the numbers, the revenue deficit grant in the first year was somewhere around 9,000-10,000 crore, and now it is less than 2,000 crore. So it is expected that by the end of the award period, the state is able to, you know, improve its revenue position and able to live without the grant and able to get a surplus without the grant. But even after receiving the grant, the revenue deficit grant, mm-hmm. which is not a conditional grant, right. which has been identified by the Finance Commission to receive the grant, they are having a revenue deficit. And the main reason for that is the high level of committed expenditure.
Right.
Yeah. And within that also, if we see salaries, pensions and interest payments, the main component is the salaries, which is more than 30% of the revenue receipts.
Oh, they're spending so much on just paying salaries.
Yes.
I see.
So that is the concern with the Punjab's expenditure and budget overall.
Okay, so now conceptually, there seems to be an issue related to the center-state relations.
Right. Absolutely.
That these grants are important to yes. particular states.
Yeah.
Bihar is very dependent on them. Mm. You're saying that UP is less dependent.
Right.
And Punjab again needs even revenue deficit grants
right.
from the center. Forget the conditional grants, yes. which of course
yes.
depend on whether it does the reforms or not. Mm. Now we have the 16th Finance Commission, which has been formed. They're going to come out with their report in about 2 years. Is there something that they need to look at? Is there some change in this grant mechanism? Or is it just down to the states that they have to increase their own tax revenue position?
I think we won't reverse from the position of conditional grants. I think conditional grants are here to stay, to incentivize states to undertake reforms. And that is the condition, that is the case not only for these grants, but also for the 50-year capex loans that the yep. central government gives to the state, a part of which is untied, which is based on the state's proportion in the shareable pool of taxes, mm-hmm. Which is untied. But again, a very significant part, which is the part of capital expenditure loan, is linked to a series of reforms. And if yes. you look at that guideline, there's part one, part two, it's still part eight. So there are a series of reforms, and for each of these reforms that you undertake, like scrapping of vehicles and power sector reforms, municipal bonds, so that municipal bodies become more capable of raising finance from mm-hmm. the market. All these reforms would enable states to get a higher share of loans for capital expenditure. So I think there is a change in the center-state relation, and that is reflected in the Finance Commission's recommendations as well as the own centers. Permission that they have to give under right. Article 293(3) of the Constitution for debt and deficits.
Mm-hmm.
Government has been nudging states to bring all their off-budget liabilities also on budget. So there is a lot of this discussion because the central government has done that. All the NSSF borrowings of FCI
right.
has been brought on budget, and the same thing they are expecting from the state government. So there could be some dilution, some revisit, but the nature of grants moving towards conditional grants is likely to stay, and therefore the emphasis has to be on undertaking reforms and improving the state capacity.
And that the states have to also increase their own tax revenue.
And they have to increase their own tax revenue, particularly for Punjab. The two most important things is one is the phasing out of the GST compensation grant,
mm-hmm.
and the other is the revenue deficit grant, which is tapers towards the last 2 years of the 15th Finance Commission. That is impacting their revenue arithmetic, to be very
right.
precise.
So there you go. The looking at the budget maths of Bihar, UP and Punjab shows us different stories for each state, but the common element seems to be a dependence on the center for grants. And so the lesson that we've got from these numbers, it's of different importance for each of these states, but all of them can follow it, is that they need to increase their own tax revenues. They need to implement the reforms that the center is asking them to do, because with these reforms will come more grants from the center. That's part of the agreement. The center is saying that we'll give you money, but you have to first do these reforms. So these are the two absolute priorities for these states. Otherwise, their finances are going to continue to look, you know, kind of serious, not great. UP of all of them seems to be doing the best, but still there's always room for improvement. But on that note, that's all we have for you.